this is about to take place. Now, Elisha knew that he could not function in his new calling without at least the kind of power that Elijah had had upon him. He longed for it. And in this chapter, he's going to say, "Let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon me. If only the mantle of Elijah might fall across my shoulders in token of my reception of his power, God would move through me like he did through him, and everything would be well as far as God's representation of himself is concerned." And so he knew he could not function without the power, at least the power of Elijah. So it says, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now we're coming to four places on the map of Palestine or the Holy Land or Israel. And every one of them is a significant place in God's Old Testament dealings with His people. The first one is Gilgal. I'll not go into this deeply, but this is the place where again and again the Bible says, there the Lord rolled away the reproach of His people Israel. The second place is Bethel. Bethel is familiar as the place where Abraham built his altar, where Jacob wrestled with God, where twice there was an awful encounter between Jacob and God. The first time he was converted. The second time his inner life was transformed. Self was laid down to die. And God replaced him with his power on the inside and made him a prince with himself. So they came to Bethel. The third place is Jericho. This was the place where the high fenced city raised its defenses up to God when the people crossed the Jordan. And the first city they encountered of any significance was Jericho. And you remember the strange military strategy. They marched around it 7 times a day for 7 days, blew their trumpets, and the Bible says the walls came tumbling down. So every one of these marks a signal place of God's manifestation of power among His people. And the fourth place, the critical place, is the Jordan River. Now let's go back and read, beginning with verse 2. "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee." Now you mark this down. Every time we set our hearts on a great blessing from God, there's going to be something to test our faith. And sometimes it is a word directed to us immediately from God Himself. Sometimes it is an onlooker who in disdain tries to hold us back from fanaticism or something else as they regard it. So Elijah said unto Elisha, "You stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." Now listen carefully. "And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you." Now this is exactly what has got to happen when a person comes to set himself on God's blessing. You see, Elijah, and I want to be heard carefully at this point, Elijah is an obvious type or symbol of Jesus Christ here. Elisha is an obvious type or symbol of the bodily replacement for Jesus when Jesus was ascended into heaven and somebody visibly had to take His place. So on the day of Pentecost, when the mantle of power fell from Elijah, ascended upon Elijah being formed in body, it fell on his church, his body. And that church became the visible replacement of Jesus Christ in the earth. And it remains to this day. Admittedly, he's getting a very poor representation out of his church today. But it stands today as the bodily replacement for Jesus, the body of Christ whose head is in heaven, whose mantle of power has fallen on his body, the church, and in that power it's supposed to function. So keep that in mind. Here is the church saying to Jesus, "I'm not going to take my eyes off of you. I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets. This is one of the two schools of the prophets at Bethel. This is the liberal branch of the school of the prophets. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yes, I know it." You see, God had already told Elijah, and Elijah had repeated it to Elisha. Then he says, "Hold ye your peace." May I put that plainly? Shut your mouth. You keep your mouth shut. I do not want to be distracted from the purpose God has called me to. I know what you're here for. Nothing would please you better than to hold me up. You shut your mouth and leave me alone. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. There's test number two. And he said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Keep your mouth shut. Hold ye your peace. Leave me alone. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to what? To Jordan. Now, can you imagine what Elisha would have thought when Elijah said, I'm going on to the Jordan River? Elisha would have thought, where else can we go past there? If we go across the Jordan, we're getting out of God's land altogether. There's no other place to go. If we cross Jordan, where shall we be? Where is this journey going to lead me? But I am seeing it through to God's appointed goal. And he said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. Now note carefully, in the next phrase, you have the biggest key to what happened in the ministry of Elisha right here. And the two of them, went on. The two of them went on. Now you listen carefully at this point. There comes a time when every person God wants to use has to so unite himself and cleave to Jesus, and it's as if everybody else is left behind. And if he refuses to do this, there is no going further. And the ranks become awfully, awfully thin at this point. There are very few men who cross Jordan with Jesus like this man did. Very few men. There are very few men who lay themselves down to die, so that on the other side of the waters of the cold Jordan, death to self, they come into resurrection power in the life of God. Very few. You could almost chart them on the numbers of the fingers and the thumbs of your hand and the toes of your... authority. God did this simply because he had come to see that here was a man who was willing to die himself, seeing his picture splashed over newspaper headlines, and those headlines calling his name on television before cameras, thousands of people turning to him. He still did not have to say, look to me. He was dead to himself, and resurrection power was at his fingertips as God spoke through him. God is waiting for one man like this, anywhere he can find him. He's about to find one here. So he said, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Now here is the Christian making up a part of the body of Christ, cleaving to Jesus, so that they too, the Christian and Jesus, in lonely defile, march down into the waters of the Jordan River. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Now you listen carefully. I am embarrassed to say this, but I think it's the truth. The ratio still holds today in the ministry of all places. I would say that the ratio is still some 50 to 1 of those who stand to view afar off to everyone who enters into the cold, chilly waters of the Jordan. But God cannot use, as he wants to use, that person who refuses to walk into the waters of the Jordan. It is only the person who goes into the place of death to self by identification and union with Jesus as he crosses through the waters of Jordan and comes to appear in resurrection on the other side whom God can use. He cannot use anybody else. So they too stood by the Jordan. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, I've got a big question for you. What does the Jordan River stand for in the Bible? I think we Baptists have led the parade in one of the greatest theological misgivings and misinterpretations that has ever come to anybody's mind or heart in history. We stand, and many times we sing, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye, We talk about getting across the waters of death and into heaven. And the Jordan River represents